Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Thank you, Jerry. Joe, we will talk to you later tomorrow afternoon. Ben Ennis is going to handle the pregame show. I will be in St. Mary's, Ontario, emceeing the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame induction ceremonies. And it's still not too late for y'all to get out there if you want to. It's an incredible day, highlighted by the inductions of Pat Henkin and El Presidente Dennis Martinez, part of a class that also includes Howie Starkman, Tony Kubek, William Shuttleworth, and I'm forgetting one. But we will have some of those guys for you, hopefully, throughout the afternoon tomorrow as the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame induces the class of 2016. Now time for Blue Jays Talk. The phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. I'm just going to say this off the top. I get a lot of crap all the time for it's early, saying it's early when it is in fact early. And it was early when the Blue Jays were 19-23 and 7 games out of first place in the American League East. And there were people who were adamant, first of all, that I was a shill and an apologist. Second of all, that it's different this year. The Red Sox are too good. The Orioles are too good. The Blue Jays are digging themselves a hole, and they're never going to be able to catch them. Well, how about this? The Jays are now 20-8 in their last 28 games. They are one game out of first place in the American League East, and they are tied with the Boston Red Sox for the wild card. Since they're both there, they're both sharing both wild card spots in the American League. And with 92 games to go, not only is this very much a three-horse race, but the Blue Jays are really the only ones going in the right direction. Now, I'm going to say it again. It's early. Things could change. And in 3 weeks, the Blue Jays could be 5 games out. In 3 weeks, the Blue Jays could be 5 games up. They're not going to keep playing like this all season long, winning 20 out of every 28, which is 5 out of every 7. It's an impossible standard to maintain. But this is the correction. They're back where they should be. Boston's going pretty hard the other way, and the Jays have won 4 in a row against the Orioles. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Andrew is in Burlington. Start things off with you, Andrew.
Hey, Mike, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
An amazing run the Jays are on. What an incredible night tonight by Saunders. And I think you said it best. Like, it's 1 week worth of effort tonight with Saunders' performance. Absolutely incredible. I just can't believe it. And I was looking back. I think this is five homers in his past 7 games, and he didn't really play much in that Philly series back in Toronto earlier in the week. It's amazing what this guy's doing. And I know he had the fluke injury last year that kept him out of the lineup for most of the year, but, man, it's fun to see him. Looks like you're going to win your Barker bet, or you're well on your way.
I'm definitely well on my way. Saunders needs another 10 homers in the next 92 games in order for me to get dinner anywhere from Kevin Barker. He said anywhere, and I'm suggesting that that means anywhere on the planet. And so it's going to be a lovely trip on Barker coming up this winter, I think.
You deserve it, man. I hope it works out for you. Hey, remind me, what was the Jay Bruce Saunders ordeal at the start of the year? How that trade was on the books, might have fell through. What happened there anyway?
It was never on the books. It was agreed to that the Blue Jays were going to trade Michael Saunders and someone. We don't really know who that someone is. For Jay Bruce, and the Cincinnati Reds were going to kick in some dough because the Blue Jays felt that they needed stability. And Michael Saunders only played 9 games last year, and I don't think he's played more than 130 games very often in his career, certainly not much. He's a guy who has had a lot of injuries, and as I look now, if this machine here would cooperate, he's played more than 130 games twice since 2010, so twice in 7 seasons, 6 seasons. So they wanted They wanted a guy who didn't miss time. And Jay Bruce is a guy who, while not very good, doesn't miss a lot of time.
Yeah.
And so that's what they were going to do. But the other guy, whoever he was, apparently failed his physical, which caused one of the three teams in the trade to back out. Don't know whether it was Anaheim or Cincinnati. And it will go down so far as one of the best trades that the Blue Jays never made.
Yeah, the best trade that you didn't make. And one final question. I know you mentioned, you know, tomorrow you're doing the MC at the Canadian Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You might not know off the top of your head, but when was the last time a Canadian won Player of the Week? That'd be pretty cool if it happened to tie into everything that we're seeing this weekend with Saunders, if he can keep it rolling.
He's going to have to really keep it rolling, because I think Edwin Encarnacion is already the Player of the Week, even if he doesn't get a hit all weekend. But this was a big day for Saunders. I don't know when the last time a Canadian won Player of the Week was. I imagine it happened with Joey Votto in the relatively recent past. But, yeah, I don't know. I appreciate the call, though, Andrew.
Yeah,
thank you. All right. Got a lot of people to get to and not a lot of time to do it. We got to step away. And when we come back, more of your phone calls. The Blue Jays plaster the Baltimore Orioles 13-3. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free.
YouTube pitch. There goes Edwin. This ball's hit deep to right field. Trumbo's given a look. It's up, and it's gone. Home run number 3 on the night for Michael Saunders. His 15th of the season. He now has 8 RBIs tonight. And the Blue Jays lead it 13-2.
And like I said, pretty good week for Michael Saunders tonight. 3 home runs, 8 RBIs, ties 2 Canadian records, and he is the first Canadian ever to have a 3 home run game for the Blue Jays. The other Canadians to hit 3 homers in a game in the major leagues: Joey Votto and Larry Walker, who did it 3 times each. Justin Morneau, who did it once. Saunders, 8 RBIs, just 1 shy of the Blue Jays club record for a single game. Also ties a record for a Canadian. Jason Bay and George Selkirk did it 2 each. Larry Walker did it once. The Blue Jays without Jose Bautista, who goes on to the DL with what will likely be eventually diagnosed as turf toe or something like it. The Jays score 13 runs. They're in double digits for the 5th time in 7 games. That is a franchise record. They have scored 65 runs in their last 7 games. An average of over 9 runs per game. And that includes a game in which they were shut out. Just an amazing run that the Blue Jays are on right now. They've won 20 of their last 28, and they've made up 7 games in the American League standings in the last 3.5 weeks. We got a lot of phone calls. We're going to let the network go at the bottom of the hour. We will maintain our Blue Jays talk right up until 11 o'clock Eastern time on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590. And Sportsnet.ca/590. Jay is in Scarborough. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Michael. How are you?
All right. Go ahead.
All right. Help me to understand here. Sanchez, it looks like, is eventually going into the bullpen because we're worried about his arm tiring out, the innings difference between this year and last year.
We're worried about him getting hurt, yes.
Right. But we want to delay that process as long as possible.
Yes.
So why in the heck would we pitch him after the 5th inning? He's got his win. Everybody's happy. It's 13-2. What possible reason could there be for him throwing one pitch after the 5th inning?
You're very upset for a guy who's
watched. I don't understand it. I've seen it for a couple of the starts. Like other teams, I notice after 5 innings, you know, they'll pull these guys. They'll save them. At least maybe give them another start or two down the line.
Yeah, I don't know how many other teams you've seen that with, for one thing. And for another thing, it's because he was cruising. And when the Blue Jays are going to look at a lot of things when they decide when to move Aaron Sanchez to the bullpen. And it's not going to be a specific number of innings. There's no number at which he's going to be shut down.
No,
you look at stressful innings.
Michael, he's cruising. He's still pitching. His arm is going to get tired. Whether he's cruising, striking people out, or giving up hits, his arm is getting more tired with every pitch. So why wouldn't we save those pitches for later in the year?
Well, because I was going to answer, but then you interrupted me.
Go ahead.
Thank you. It's because, as I said, if you'd let me get into the explanation, is that there are high-pressure innings, high-stress innings, low-stress innings. And when you're running through a run of nice little low-stress innings, then it doesn't put as much wear, they believe, on the arm. So Aaron Sanchez really struggled through the first three innings of this game. He loaded the bases in the first, and he loaded the bases in the third, and he got out of it both times, only giving up one run. And then he was marvelous from there. Gave up that leadoff double in the fourth, and then retired the next nine guys in a row. Not a lot of pitches, not a lot of stress. He had earned the right to be back out there, and one inning isn't going to make a big difference. But you have to remember that these are human beings too, and human beings first, as opposed to just commodities. And when Aaron Sanchez is going the way he's going, looking the way he's looking, even though it's a big, huge, giant blowout, throwing him out there for one more inning isn't going to kill anybody.
They actually could have pulled him after three.
Yes,
you say wins
they could
don't
have.
Really matter.
They don't. But again, to me, they don't matter. To the human beings who are actually playing the game, they matter. And if I was a pitcher and I had an 11-2 lead going into the bottom of the fourth inning and I got pulled, I would be furious. And you don't do that to somebody.
All right, fair enough. We can agree to disagree.
Sure. No problem. I appreciate the call. And I think that's the thing that everybody needs to really remember. These are human beings before they're commodities. As much as we'd like to think that they're just sort of dispensable commodities. And there are ways that you treat human beings in order to keep them happy, keep them on your side, have a good environment around. That's taking out Aaron Sanchez super early. That's not what you do. Now, taking him out after five, I wouldn't have had a problem with that. Leaving him in for one more inning after he retired six in a row, I don't have a problem with that one either. We'll continue to take your calls on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and sportsnet.ca/590. We'll hear from Michael Saunders. We might hear from John Gibbons as well. Blue Jays beat up on Baltimore 13-3. Post games brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. It is a Sportsnet radio network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Ready as Osuna. The 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Ball game. Blue Jays 13-3 over the first place Orioles, who are still in first place. But now a game up on both the Boston Red Sox and now the Blue Jays. What a night for Michael Saunders leading the way.
He sure did. Michael Saunders with three home runs and eight RBIs. One off a Blue Jays club record each way. More than enough. The Blue Jays now with 65 runs scored in their last seven games. That includes a game in which they were shut out. They've won four in a row, 7 of 8. They've beaten the Orioles four times in a row. And they're a game out of first place in the AL East, tied with the Boston Red Sox. The Jays and Red Sox hold the two wild cards in the American League. If the season ended today, which it doesn't, there are 72 games left, the Blue Jays would host the wild card game over the Red Sox, who I believe have lost 9 of their last 14. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. We're taking your calls, but the board's full, so you're going to have to time your call right. Get somebody while they're hanging up and a line is open. And we will get to your calls. But first, let's hear from Michael Saunders. He had a pretty big night, and he met with the media after the game.
Michael, there are nights where you're going to feel like you're in a zone. Was tonight any different than any other one of those zone nights?
I told you on the field, I think ultimately hitting is all about getting a good pitch to hit and put a good swing on it. And, I felt like that's what I did tonight.
Michael, you're the fourth Canadian in history to hit three homers in a game. Votto, Morneau, Walker, those are guys you know pretty well. What does that mean to you?
Those guys that I grew up watching, obviously. And and idolizing and, you know, proud Canadians kind of thing. And getting to know them over the years, they're great people. I've become close friends with all of them. And, you know, it's good company to join.
What did you see out of number one of Baldo? You hit two of them off of him. But that kind of gives you the big lead, in, you know, from a team standpoint that was used. But what did you see off of him?
You know, getting to see him as of late, I think, helped this team out. You know, getting familiar with his stuff and, you know, having a game plan up there. He ultimately, my first at bat, I was just trying to get the ball to the outfield and cash in that run. And, you know, he gave me a fastball out over the plate.
When you think of everything you've gone through over the last year, from last year to almost being traded in spring training, to be able to wear that uniform and do what you did tonight, is it one of those things maybe when you're done playing, it would mean a little extra?
I didn't think about it until you brought it up, Barry. No, I'm just happy to be here. I've from the moment I got traded, you know, it was kind of a surreal moment for me. It was a dream of mine growing up, obviously, in Canada, and the Jays being my hometown team. And, you know, to do this with the Blue Jays uniform on is pretty special for me. But ultimately, you know, putting me aside, it what's more importantly is we won this game. This is a team that's ahead of us in the division right now, so this is a big series. We took 3 out of 4 off them at home, and that was huge for us. And we're playing great baseball right now from top to bottom, and it's a big win for us.
Michael, coming into this season, did you make any significant adjustments in your approach, in your stance, in your approach to the plate?
I made a minor approach a couple years ago. Just moving my hands back, keeping my same trigger, but starting with my hands a little bit further back. Reason why was I felt like I was getting into good counts to hit in, but I wasn't consistent. I was missing my pitches, and so I just tried to eliminate a step in my swing. And ultimately, the difference this year is I'm healthy. I have my legs underneath me, and I feel good.
I remember before in this place not too long ago, a few years back, but when you came up with bases loaded and late in the game, what were you thinking?
Once again, just trying to get a good pitch to hit. He did a good job throwing sinkers into my hands, and he got the ground ball he needed to get out of the inning. And but ultimately, once again, just trying to get a good pitch to hit.
The last two that you hit, I think, were both on off-speed pitches. Are you making an adjustment at the plate when you hit a ball like that, or what's happening there?
I think I'm just on time with the fastball, and then adjusting off of that. I think just being on time, and I've got a little familiarity with Ubaldo. Once again, we saw him, you know, just a few days back. So, getting that opportunity was beneficial as well.
With your second at bat, I think it fell right in front of the wall. Did you think you got that one as well?
No, I didn't. I didn't think I got that one. I got a little bit under it. The ball was carrying a little bit to left tonight, so I think I got to give a little credit there as well.
There he is, Michael Saunders, the huge game tonight. 3 home runs and 8 RBIs for the Blue Jays in a 13-3 rout of the Baltimore Orioles. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Let's get to the phones. Mike's in Waterloo. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike. Good evening. I just want to get something off my chest if I could.
Sure.
The Red Sox were too good. We'll never catch them this year, but, well, hopefully. But all the people that are going to get rid of this guy and this guy, I just want to talk about Eddie, Mike. There's no way we cannot sign him. How many Blue Jay fans would be really disappointed, win or lose this year, not to have him in the lineup next year? And I remember when Mark Shapiro came here and said, we want to put a winning team that has a chance to win the World Series every year on the field. Well, I hope the brass realize, and I just want your thoughts on this, but I hope the brass realize that we have to sign Eddie. For not to have him in the lineup next year, there would be a lot of disappointed Blue Jay fans. And just keep up the good work, Mike. I won't keep you. I just want to hear your thoughts on that, and I'll talk to you again soon.
All right, I appreciate the call. There is no one that the Blue Jays have to sign. There's no one that the franchise would fall apart without. As much as we love Edwin Encarnacion or Jose Bautista, the Blue Jays had Carlos Delgado and he left. They had Roy Halladay and they traded him. There's nobody who is a must keep. we'll see what happens. It depends on how much money Edwin wants, how much term Edwin wants, how much other teams are willing to pay him. Same thing with all the other free agents, Bautista, Saunders, Cecil, Storen, Dickey, Smoke, all these free agents the Blue Jays have coming up, and there are lots of them. But there's nobody that this team is lost without. And again, you can make the argument that Jose Bautista is the best player on the team, at least a coin flip with Josh Donaldson. The Jays have not had Jose Bautista in their last four games against the first-place Baltimore Orioles, and they've won all four of those games. They've scored in double digits three times. That's, again, without Jose Bautista. Nobody is. I mean, yes, everyone's going to be disappointed whenever a player they like leaves, but doesn't mean that, you know, the team is lost without them. Nathan is in Thornhill. Hey, Nathan.
Mike, hi. How you doing?
All right, go ahead.
I just wanted to talk about the double play by, I guess, Barney. I think that was the turning point of the game. Tremendous play.
And it's one that's forgotten, it's true, because of what happened after that.
Right.
The bases were loaded with one out in the third inning, and the Blue Jays were up 4-2. The game was absolutely in the balance. And Darwin Barney made an incredible play down the right field line on Jonathan Scope's pop-up, turned around, fired home to double up Manny Machado, who was tagging and trying to score. It was, I said at the time, might be the play of the play of the game right there. It's got a chance to be one of the plays of the year. That was an incredible play. And yeah, it we hadn't even mentioned it because the Blue Jays outscored Baltimore 9-1 the rest of the way.
Right. I think it could be the play of the year so far. I agree with you.
It's sure. Pretty amazing.
Defensive play. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yep.
Anyways, thanks, Mike. I just wanted to mention
I appreciate it. Thank you for calling to point it out because I know I was definitely planning on touching on it, but who knows if we would have. That was an incredible play, absolutely, by Darwin Barney at second base. Let's go down to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Mark, welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mr. Wellner, how are you tonight?
Good. How's Baton Rouge?
Oh, my gosh, it's like 91 Fahrenheit, 86% humidity. But hey, the Jays are unbelievable right now, aren't they?
They are.
So, I don't get to listen to you much. So you take a lot of unfair heat, and I think you did really well with how you understand the game, and it's a long season. And it really kind of ticks me off when I hear people, a few callers earlier, like, why didn't we take them out in the third inning or something? And I guess Canadians are still learning about baseball. I'm still a Canadian, but I love the game. I was at the 4 million attendance game. You're a Joe Bowen of baseball.
Wow. All right. I wish you had a better phone, Mark, because we're having a real hard time. I don't quite get that last comparison, but that's all right. I appreciate that you meant it as a compliment. I don't think that it's the Canadians still need to learn a lot about baseball. I don't think that's a fair assessment. I think it's a very emotional fan base, and I think that a lot of times passion overwhelms reason. It's one of the reasons we love sports. And as well, you know, there's so much fantasy sports being played that a lot of people look at this stuff from the perspective of fantasy sports, where if a guy has a bad week, you dump him and you pick up somebody else on the waiver wire. And that's the way fantasy works, and it's not the way real life works. But I think a lot of people do tend to see things through that prism. Jeff is somewhere in Hawaii. Hey, Jeff.
How are you?
I'm all right.
I'm good to hear. Glad to hear that. Okay, first of all, love your show. The SiriusXM app just makes my day every day, and I love listening to you guys.
Thank you.
However, I have a question.
Yes.
What's up with Osuna? I mean, he has not had the last few times he's been in, I think he blew a couple of saves. Today clearly meant nothing. Love the game, but home run didn't mean anything, but still, what's up?
Nothing, I don't think. I mean, he hadn't pitched in a week, so today was kind of an opportunity to get the rust off, and so he gave up a home run in a game that they led by 11. It doesn't mean anything at all. He did blow a save back on June 7th 10 days ago, but, you know, they had been working him pretty hard. He pitched 10 times in 17 games, and I think that they felt like they needed to back him off. And then it helped that they started either getting blown out or blowing everybody out, that they could give him a good run of time off. But he's back now, and I assume he's going to be back to his regular Roberto Osuna-ing when the Blue Jays need saves.
I certainly hope so, because, you know, he's our guy. He's my guy. I mean, I really dig him, but I just, you know, I worry a little bit.
Well, you wouldn't be a sports fan if you didn't worry a little bit.
Okay. Thank you so much. I love your show.
All right. Thank you. Hang 10 and stuff. Blue Jays win 13-3 in Baltimore. They are a game out of first place in the American League East. Brian is in Brampton. Hello.
That was good. And I was just wondering, like, if Russell does go down with the injury.
Yeah.
We got Tole. Who do we have? Like down from the minors. Who we got coming up?
That's about it. There's AJ Jimenez down there.
Right.
I believe Tony Sanchez is still down there, though I haven't really looked. But yeah, that's what happens. That's basically what every major league team is dealing with. If they lose their starting catcher, they're in a lot of trouble.
We're doing okay, though.
Yeah, I think so.
And please give Dickey some runs tomorrow. Please. Oh,
they might have used them all up today.
Give him four. He'll win.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, Brian.
That's my first time caller. I love your show. I have no cable, no internet, and just listen to the radio. And it's been a beautiful experience, man. Love you.
Beautiful. Thank you. Appreciate the call a lot. Blue Jays all over Baltimore Orioles. 13-3. They've won four straight against the Orioles. They're a game out of first place in the AL East. Danny is in Toronto. Hello, Danny.
Hey, Michael. Thanks for taking my call. Big fan here.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say really quickly, I don't know when it was. It was a few games ago. It might have been even when Baltimore was in Toronto, and Edwin hit a monster shot, and I heard your call of it, and it was the best call of a home run I've heard this year.
Wow,
and
thank you.
I only can hope that your two innings get bumped up to the full nine innings on the radio. I'd be a big fan. Happy to hear you getting full-time work doing that, my friend. Keep it up, and I'm out.
All right, I appreciate it. I'm not being bumped up to nine innings anytime soon, but I appreciate the kind words. It's a lot of fun, and it's an indescribable experience to be able to call Blue Jays play-by-play on the radio, two innings or whatever. I can't tell you. Brad in Stouffville. Hey, Brad, you're next.
Hey, Mike, great night for Blue Jays baseball and I guess Canadians everywhere. I just want to make a couple points. One about Michael Saunders, who's got to be one of the candidates for comeback player of the year, especially what happened to him last year, and just wondering what your thoughts were about that.
I honestly haven't looked at the field for that. I would think that, if you come off playing nine games and you have an OPS close to 1,000 and hit 25, 30 home runs like Saunders is on pace to do, you're probably comeback player of the year, but there might be somebody else I'm not thinking of who's in that too.
Okay. My other question is about Sanchez, and I don't want to beat a dead horse over this because everyone's talking about him going to the bullpen.
Right.
My question is, does that not change his routine or anything going from getting used to, you know, every 5 days getting the ball versus going 2 days in a row, day off.
Yeah.
2 days in a row.
Sure, it changes his routine.
But does that lead to like a higher risk just because it's out of what his body's used to and his muscle memory and stuff like that?
No. Pitching's pitching. And, you know, he's pitched out of the bullpen and done it very successfully 2 years in a row now in August and September. And so this will be, you know, if you want to go that way, this will be the third straight August and September that he'll be a high leverage late inning major league relief pitcher. So that's really nothing new.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say I love your show. I'm a big fan. And also when you're calling the game, I think you also put a great spin. You're the voice of the fans, and it really comes through when you call games. So
thank you, Brad.
Big fan.
I appreciate that a whole lot. I do. That's great. and very nice to hear. Blue Jays beat the Baltimore Orioles 13-3 tomorrow. Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame inducts the class of 2016, and I have the honor of emceeing that. And if you can get out to St. Mary's, this will be the first time that I've ever been to an induction weekend, and I'm hosting it, so it's kind of weird. But I hear it's a great time. I'll definitely do my best to make it as great a time as possible for all of you. So if you can get out there, please do. It should be just amazing. And it starts with, I think, the street festival, like, 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, very kid-friendly. Do yourself a favor and head out to St. Mary's tomorrow. And the induction ceremony will be over by the time the ball game starts. So it'll be perfect. And you get a Blue Jays game. We will continue to take your calls right up to the top of the hour. But let's hear from the skipper, John Gibbons. Here's what he had to say in the wake of tonight's 13-3 rout of the Baltimore Orioles.
Your time and, you know, as manager, you've seen a lot of great performances. Where does this, what you saw from Michael Saunders, rank for you?
It's right up there, you know, and he just missed that fourth one, too. He took him to the wall. Yeah, that's, I mean, it's a very rare feat in baseball. And, you know, to even get a shot at it or witness, you know, a guy might do it. Yeah, because you're not gonna, who knows, you may never see that again, but. You know, Michael's in a nice little groove. He's having a hell of a year for us, and you know, showing good power. And but you know, he's using the whole field too now. He's just not hitting his home runs pull side. You know, he's hit driving some balls out the other way. So great effort by him. Great effort by everybody. You know, and the key to that game is Sanchez getting out of that first inning. You know, with one run, and then another. I thought another big play was in Barney to Russell, keep that run off the board. You know, I mean, those were key points because you know, I mean, you still don't feel good facing this team because they can burn you so many different ways. And but I thought that was key for Sanchi.
He had another inning too where I think they had a leadoff double and then he retired the next three. So, I mean, how big is that for him and his confidence too?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's still a young kid learning the big leagues, and outings like that where, you know, you gain the confidence, hey, I'm in a jam here, but I can still work my way out of that. And, you know, gutsy pitch call to punch out Alvarez on the 3-2 curveball, you know. But that's what Russ does, too. He brings out the confidence in these guys. So, great game. But we're playing good baseball.
And the biggest thing, too, in the grand scheme of things, you're back within the game of first place, too. So you're making a move, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've been playing good. You know, people thought we were dead in the water there for a while. You know, it's still a long way to go. It's like they at certain points they say it's early, but it's not early. But if you're in the thing, it's still early. You know how that works.
Smoke understood the hats on the field a little better than Edwin did last year.
That's right. I thought that was kind of cool, you know.
Especially on the road. I mean, Edwin's was at home, but for the.
Yeah, no, it was pretty neat. It's like, you know, you ain't gonna see that a lot, but it'd be kind of nice to see that a few times. You know, it's kind of our deal, you know.
Kind of our deal. John Gibbons talking about a hat coming out on the field or two when Michael Saunders hit his third home run. Blue Jays over the Baltimore Orioles, 13-3. The Jays are 20-8 since they got swept at home by the Tampa Bay Rays and were outscored 31-7 in that three-game series. They have scored 65 runs in their last seven games. Got time for a couple more phone calls. Leo is in Waterloo. Hello, Leo.
Hey, Mr. Mikey, you know, what you just said, 65 runs, like that's insane for what these guys are doing. And that just goes to show you, like, it takes a little bit of time for the karma to be happening, for the guys to look at the ball and where it's coming and where they're throwing their bat and stuff. And obviously the bats have been heating up for the last little while. And I called to address actually that caller, I guess it was early on in the show, that was kind of upset about not getting Sanchez pulled after three.
Well, he was upset that he didn't get pulled after five, just to be fair.
Even still, like, I mean, Gibby's not in the practice, and I don't believe too many managers are in the practice of pulling their pitcher, especially one of your better ones. Actually, it doesn't even matter. Your starter pitcher, you're not going to pull them when they start getting in a little bit of trouble, because the whole idea is for them to find the way to get out of it. Is that not right?
It's not about I mean, the whole thing wasn't about the fact that he was in a little bit of trouble and he should have been pulled because he retired the last nine batters that he faced.
Well, exactly.
It was about the idea that Aaron Sanchez is moving to the bullpen and that if the Blue Jays want to save his innings, they shouldn't be giving him extra, you know, they should be getting him out in blowouts as early as possible. It was, you know, you're right in what you said, but it didn't really have anything to do with countering the argument that the first guy made.
Well, what was the score at the fifth inning at that point? Because I missed a lot of the game.
Say that again. What was the what?
What was the score in the fifth inning?
In the fifth inning, it was 11-2.
11-2.
Yeah.
And he had trouble in the first and the third.
Yeah, and then he was great. Fourth, fifth, and sixth, he was outstanding.
Yeah, but he loaded up the bases. I was listening to you. He loaded up the bases twice and got out of it.
Yeah.
So why would you pull a pitcher? I don't get what the guy was getting at.
Because Aaron Sanchez, the Blue Jays are monitoring his innings this year.
Oh,
and at some point in time, he's going to move to the bullpen. So the caller was suggesting you want to shorten his outings as much as possible so that you keep him in the rotation as long as possible.
Okay, so is that a function of because he is going to the bullpen at some point to keep the innings down? Is there like a numbers thing that is happening with that or no?
Not a specific numbers thing, but there's a range, yes.
Okay, all right. Well, okay, then I sit educated.
All right, well, that's what we're trying to do here.
Mike, carry on. Great job, man.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. We go to one more? We have time for one more? Sure. Let's go to Rob in Milton. Hey, Rob.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for the call, and love your show.
Thank you. You have 90 seconds.
Okay. My question is, I hate to keep beating on Sanchez. Why is it that they're monitoring Sanchez so closely and not Stroman? Because Sanchez's body mechanics suit starting pitching a little bit better than Stroman. They talk about arm length and stride length.
Because Marcus Stroman has thrown more innings than Aaron Sanchez has in his career at his peak. Stroman has a 167-inning season under his belt. Sanchez has never thrown more than 130. That's it, plain and simple.
Monitoring Stroman as well in the future?
Well, no, you don't need to. He's safe to go to 200 now, and he should be fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just wondering why I don't see a lot of talk of body mechanics involved in this, and I know for both of them to throw 95, Stroman's got to put a lot more effort on his body than Sanchez does, so...
You're right. Sanchez definitely has the classic starting pitcher's build, and Marcus Stroman definitely doesn't. But it's about wear and tear on the arm, and it's about the elbow, and I think it doesn't matter how big you are, it doesn't matter how strong you are. Ligaments are ligaments, and they're pretty close to, I think, the same in everybody. You can't work out to increase the strength in your tendons and ligaments. And that's the worry. That's why they're looking at Sanchez and not at Marcus Stroman. Thanks for the call. Thanks for all the calls. Tomorrow, 3:30 Eastern, 4:05, first pitch, R.A. Dickey and Yovani Gallardo. Ben Ennis will be in this seat for the pregame. I'll be at the 2016 Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame induction ceremonies in St. Mary's. You'll hear from me in the pregame show. We'll talk about that as well. The Blue Jays beat the Orioles 13-3. They've won 7 of 8. See you tomorrow.